Our first speaker is Dennis Keeney, who will talk on the Keeney Place. Dennis is, he's a wonderful person. I guess I should start out with that. He's a soil scientist. He was the first director of the Leopold Center for Sustainable Agriculture at Iowa State. And the Leopold Center was created by a group of very forward-looking legislators that tied its funding to the fertilizer and pesticide sales. Unfortunately, they tied it to the amount of fertilizer and pesticides that were sold rather than the dollar value. And so that has created recently some serious funding problems for the Leopold Center. So Dennis guided the Leopold Center during its first decade or more.
12 years.
Yeah. 12 years. And he is retired now, theoretically, but he has turned to a new area, which is writing and journalism. And every week or so, we're able to read in the Ames Tribune an op-ed piece by Dennis, which is always very thoughtful. He has his book outside, so after the session, he has graciously agreed to sign books that anyone would like to buy. So I'll stop there and let you go ahead, Dennis.
Thanks, Dan. Sparks a couple of new things on my bucket list this month, maybe early next month. One is speaking to the sociology conference. I've never done that. So this will be a first, probably a last, but it'll be fun. And the other is a little more futuristic. I will have my first great-grandbaby probably in the next few days. But the phone's on, so it's just in case. Anyway, that's a new experience. The Keeney Place is a book, as he's indicated. It's my story, my life story. I decided to get it finally written before it was too late. And it really does cover my life till I quit the Leopold, till I retired from the Leopold Center. See if I can make this thing go. Maybe that'll do it. That didn't do it. That did. The Keeney Place is a little spot north of Reynolds, Iowa. You can see that curvy river down there, the Des Moines River. This is probably about a 1920 plat map. I'd point out that the Webster Place up here in the expanded view of that map is the place we've moved to. It became the Keeney Place. This is the way they do it in the rural area. A place means something. It's very important to them. And we all know the sense of place and what that really means. So where this story is going to be fairly personal at times, we'll see how it goes. This is kind of a typical snapshot of a summer lawn and farmstead at the Keeney Place, probably about 1957 or so, somewhere in there. But you'll see a lot of haying equipment, which you won't see in an Iowa farm these days. That's the view out the back, and I'll just show these views because it was a gorgeous place. Of course, in Flat, Iowa. And I knew every bit of that land. Graduated from high school, went to Iowa State College. Actually, it was a college till I graduated in soil science and agronomy. Went to Wisconsin for my first part of my graduate school and had to live up to that license plate, of course. And got a master's in soil science. That's the building. Then graduated from there. This is sort of a quick life progression. Back to Iowa State University, got a chance to work with a world-renowned soil organic chemist for my PhD, and I went there for nearly 5 years. And Wisconsin, that's my graduation. Dr. Bremner over there has passed. But back to Wisconsin, back to soil science. So it seemed like I'm just jockeying back and forth in my career. This was a tenured professor job, and it turned out pretty well for me. I will do 22 years in this little shot. We saw the University of Wisconsin come up earlier in a premier university. That was over lunch. I don't think it was premier in agriculture. I think it was slipping even in agriculture while I was there because of several things, but they couldn't get their act together on whether they were going to work on environmental issues or production issues. And I got caught in the middle. But I was active in my society, soil science, American Society of Agronomy, took a year off to go to New Zealand, did Kickapoo River impoundment environmental study, which closed the dam. We stopped the Corps in their tracks. Kind of when I learned to be more of an activist. A lot of research in Madison and the lakes. A lot of research around the state. A lot of funds. This depiction of my graduate to college dean get funded to perish, not publish. They counted money more than they did even publications. But then came the Leopold Center. I was getting pretty tired of this academic world. And a fellow called Paul Johnson, who Jan's referred to, was one of the progressive Iowa authors, legislators authored the Groundwater Protection Act. It was a very broad act. It was supposed to give Iowa State then the opportunity to look at sustainable agriculture. They defined it, but it was very broad. And very controversial. This act was lambasted in the legislature. It was really, Iowa was going to the dogs when they funded something that actually used up fertilizer tax dollars that they needed so badly for making more money. But Leopold was the person on the right whose person was named after the Sam County Almanac. Probably many of you have seen this. Had a different view of life. And I've read a lot of Leopold, but I didn't really read him from the standpoint of this conference until I started reading some different aspects of his life, liberal as there is. And so he's really the right person to put on this center. He was really against the grain when it comes to the way Iowa was going. So there's the Stan County Almanac, back to Iowa State, but more in the administrative area, and the Leopold Center. We won't go into any details, because that would take a lot of time, but the center I had to have my stamp on it. It's only going to last 5 years if I didn't. Everybody was after it. I had a lot of enemies. We'll talk about them. So we set up with competitive grants and very broad interdisciplinary program, the slow research that you talked about this morning, Larry. That means a lot. And an extension program, structured these with the board. Had an advisory board, but it was a broad board. We could do research funding through all this, the higher education institutions in the state, and through the soil and water conservation, several places like that. Land ethic. That's the first chapter of this thing. Leopold never thought we should be using land just for money. Never did. Stop my ecological conscience. And you stop and think about it. All of our food, all of our water comes from the land. The air is purified by the land. So all the stocks we can invest in Harvard or whatever aren't going to be a bit of good if we run out of land. People have not appreciated that yet. I don't know if they ever will. I hope they do. So Leopold then, I knew these things, but I didn't put them in context of this particular conference. Said perhaps the serious obstacle impeding the evolution of the land ethic, which you just heard about, is the fact that our educational and economic system is heading away from, rather than toward, an intense consciousness of the land. And we see this every day in the mega farms of Iowa, mega farms of Illinois, Minnesota, you name it, they're there. We can't just blame Iowa, this is an international movement. And that's been going on for quite a while. So Leopold was sent out there then to be a roadblock, at least make people think. It was not a big thing, we only had $1.5 million a year to spend. That sounded like quite a bit in somebody's pocketbook, but not very much. That's probably half a day's salary or half a day's operating expenses at the university. So it really is a tiny, but it was so visible. And I would get in the paper a lot, get on the places I didn't want to be, get quoted where I didn't want to be. I had to learn how to be a public figure. And that was what part of my life was. In fact, they did Paul Lasley, before he got to be chair, he used to do an Iowa poll. And he did a poll once on the name recognition of Iowa leaders. I was 5 points ahead of the dean. That didn't make him very happy. Anyway, just to show you where I had to be with this thing. One slip up and I was probably in the dead in the water. Leopold talked a lot about industrial agriculture. 1945, he knew it was coming. And so it's clear to me it's overshot its mark in the sense that it's operating new insecurities, economic and ecological, in place of what it was meant to abolish. There are some excellent articles on Leopold. There's one on Leopold in economics. I didn't pull it up, but there's one out of McGill University, I think. Really good. A lot of good stuff out there showing what he really thought about economics of land use. So I came in 1988, didn't leave Wisconsin quite quietly. They were quite upset when I left. I was upset too, because I really thought that Wisconsin was a perfect place for a Leopold Center, but it was fought tooth and nail. So I had a few friends when I came in, but not too many. Those are small groups mostly, except for the Democrats and natural resource faculty on campus. And I had a lot of skeptics. A lot of people said, this is not going to work. You're going to get in our way. You're going to screw up the whole show because you're going to be where we want to be. Things like the Catholic Rural Life, Iowa Citizens for Community Improvement, which now is a very progressive group, but they tried hard to block us and got very, very bad at times to us. Most of the organic community didn't believe us. Even Practical Farmers of Iowa thought we were getting in their territory and messing things up. Of course, Extension was quite concerned about what we might be doing. Much of the agronomy stuff, I was president of the American Society of Agronomy, and I still couldn't get them on my side. Most of the ISU administration, not all, thank goodness, and the big ag leaders were the big money types. They were all skeptics. What I had to do then was move my enemies, my near enemies, and hope my friends would stay with me, which they mostly did. But I will say for a while, the dean of the college, who turned pretty turncoat on me for a while, helped me quite a bit getting into Farm Bureau and places like that. This is what I would call the enemies list. These are people who wanted me to go. They didn't want me to come. They didn't want the Leopold Center to be passed. So I had most of the Republican Party against me, even though bill was passed with a supermajority, thank goodness. They still didn't like it. The only reason most of them voted for it was they thought we'd get research money into Iowa State and then they could get at it from there. Of course, the Fertilizer Chemical Association was very much against me because they lobbied against it. A lot of, particularly the weed scientists in agronomy, fought me because they just were putting out the stuff that PS pesticides don't lease. They're very strong. They're good for you. Farm Bureau, I had to work on them, but they never did really come around. And the top administration, you didn't trust. So when I came, we had big players. We had a fellow called Tom Doerr in those days, who's Angie's going to talk about the current day Tom Doerr. Just changed names. His advocated 10 farms per county. That's all we needed. And then they had to be all white. He said the black community couldn't farm. He gave big money to Republicans. He's on the Board of Regents at the time. Barton and Andreas introduced ethanol in Cedar Rapids. And he was certainly against us, and I was against him. Fertilizer Chemical Association, when they lobbied against the Leopold Center, were regarded as certainly a big ag player. But there, when I came, I was told there's five groups that run Iowa State, and none of them live in Ames. The president of the corn growers, the president of the soybean growers, the president of the cattlemen, the president of the pork producers, and Farm Bureau president. They had everything to say. Dean, probably on up to the president, had to do what they said. Monsanto at that time was getting powerful and getting more so in DuPont Pioneer. Pioneer was a good company until it was bought by DuPont. So we went through these battles. And I put this in here, I don't know if I'll spend much time on it, but this kind of intrigues me, and it's one reason why I left Wisconsin. There are men who charge the duty of examining the construction of plants, animals, and soils, which are instruments of the great orchestra. These men are called professors. Each selects one instrument and spends his life taking it apart and describing its strings and sounding boards. This process of dismemberment is called research. The place for dismemberment is called a university. Had to break this somehow, had to break this up. I knew it was just as true at Iowa State as it was at Wisconsin. Current Iowa power brokers, we're going to hear more about these as we go along. And the rest later will be, Angie's going to talk a lot about that, so I won't even mention him except to see the name. World Food Prize. World Food Prize is held in Des Moines each year. It's now become a big glamorous event, largely funded by the state of Iowa and Monsanto, some with DuPont. The Borlaug legacy is a problem, a real problem for Iowa. And he's revered. He's another Iowan, just like Aldo. He's a wonderful human being in his own way. He's a very gentle giant, if you will. But he never fed the world. He developed the straight-stalked wheat that supplied him more to fertilizer. People ate a little better in India, but it didn't really hold on because it took a lot more infrastructure than he thought about. And none has ever worked both since. Bill Gates is a problem for Iowa because of the things he promotes. And we always have Governor for Life Branstad, our governor who's had now the most consecutive years and most number of years in governor's office of anybody in history. Some shots. You see how nice Borlaug really is. This is a great looking picture. World Food Prize with Gates speaking there. Borlaug snuggling up to Nixon, snuggling up to Bush. He was first names with a lot of the leaders of the world. And this quick shot of Rastetter, which will go beyond. Again, you'll see more of that. So the issues that Iowa has to deal with now, and the Leopold Center has to deal with, I suppose it could fit this into neoliberalism, and I will try and do that even more as I put this paper together. The biggies are GMOs and weed and insect resistance. They're coming back to bite you behind now. And now we're turning out that the main chemical, which people knew a long time ago, glyphosate, does have toxic aspects to it. It's a hard one to sort out because there's so much of it used everywhere. Nitrate in the Des Moines drinking water, just a hot button issue. It's everywhere, but it happens to hit there. Certainly all the time, soil erosion, the land use turning into monocultures. The fact that we can't get cover crops, except in a few spots. The real economy itself is still very shaky. Ethanol is still a problem, and will be. Eminent domain is coming in much more because of pipelines issues, and I think you'll be getting into some of those. Some other people will anyway. The everywhere presence of the CAFO and the toxicity of GMOs and the feed the world, fuel the world thing. What I think might have happened in a few minutes I got left, and this thing is after World War II, the U.S. began to lose the science battle. After what Larry's been saying, I've been listening more to him, see how this fits. Science came on the scene, the universities got outside dollars. I really hadn't thought about the private sector as came up this noon. The Bayh-Dole Act of 1980 got profit from government research. Big science poured dollars into environmental research, and the corporate dollars really began to dominate. The universities just really cut down on their funding, the states cut down, moving into corporate profit. Political control came on as when I see all this happening in my career. The People's University as we knew it is gone, and they ask what will replace it. The Leopold Center has been called the last great hope of the land grants. I don't know if that's true, but I'd like to think it was, and that was a few years ago by some pretty prominent people. I tried to have it replicated, but it can't be replicated because the industry stops it before you get started. Their snoopers are out there. Can it survive? I'll know in another 5 or 10 years whether somebody gets it. It's financially still holding on, but not strong financially. And maybe this land grant shouldn't even result. I think I'll skip this slide except to point out how bad it is. Monsanto is Monsanto's top lobbyist has been hired by Hillary. As a hired gun, but he's also the same person that stopped Francis Dickey, who was running for Secretary of Agriculture, and he's probably one of the best liberal thinkers we've had to run for that spot. And he's critic of Monsanto. That's just where it is. Another Leopold statement, one opinion of an ecological education is that one lives alone in a world of wounds. Much of the damage inflicted on land is quite invisible to laymen. An ecologist must either harden his shell, make believe that the consequences of science are none of his business. It must be the doctor who sees the marks of death in a community, that believes itself well and does not want to be told otherwise. That's pretty deep. Okay, well, thanks very much.